Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. After promising a protest against Bay Area Rapid Transit, the loose group of hacker activists known as Anonymous delivered one last night during rush hour. The protests were initially sparked by the shooting of a drunk homeless man by BART police this summer. Transit officials shut down four downtown San Francisco train stations last night and closed a central stretch of Market Street. A sergeant with the San Francisco Police Department told the LA Times that while a lot of people who would have taken BART were stranded, the protesters were largely peaceful and the demonstration was over by 8:30. But even as Anonymous victoriously tweets links to news coverage this morning, sympathizers are debating the choice by hackers to break into a BART-affiliated website over the weekend and leak contact information for thousands of passengers. Anonymous is a loose group of hackers, and there appears to be a mix of motives at play, righting perceived wrongs and also generating notoriety, even if it comes at the expense of Bay Area commuters. Cybersecurity experts are asking another question. If the hackers had been so inclined, could they have shut down the trains? Rachel Dornhelm explores the question.
Reporters pressed BART spokesman Linton Johnson during a teleconference yesterday about BART's cybersecurity system. One reporter tried to pin Johnson down about when the transit agency last audited its computer security. Johnson told the journalist he'd be happy to respond quickly to a Freedom of Information request and framed the issue this way.
In this world, we should all be able to have our windows open, keep our doors unlocked, and not be blamed when the thieves come in.
It's not acceptable for a bank to leave their safe vault unlocked, and if they do,
what is not acceptable is for thieves to steal money out of the bank.
The database Anonymous hacked stored personal information for BART riders who had signed up to receive special offers.
It's very likely that this attack was very easy for the Anonymous group to take out.
That's Josh Shaul, Chief Technology Officer at Application Security Incorporated. Shaul says Anonymous likely exploited a simple database vulnerability that's been known for years. He says even if BART hired an external firm to audit its system, that weakness could have been overlooked. And Shaul says companies sometimes don't prioritize security for every part of their computer system.
And my guess is that frame of mind has changed significantly through the course of this weekend.
Cybersecurity expert Robert Rodriguez says BART may have different security levels for its websites and for the computer network that runs the trains. Rodriguez, who retired from the Secret Service, says the train system is likely behind a higher firewall.
Obviously, with the website, maybe they felt that it was, you know, lower priority, and you have to prioritize your investments because at the end of the day, you have a dollar and you need 20 things to protect. You can probably only protect 3 or 4 or 5.
The potential consequences for those who hacked the BART website are unclear. Rodriguez says it's complicated by the fact that Anonymous participants are from around the world, including countries where they're behind a diplomatic firewall and can't be extradited to the U.S. New York University professor Gabriella Coleman is writing a book about Anonymous. She says the group has been politically active in some form since 2008.
In some ways, this was an interesting case because there was a kind of convergence of two issues that had been on the plate with Anonymous before.
Coleman says the group tends to respond when it perceives censorship or police brutality. She says participants have only recently faced increased scrutiny from law enforcement. The FBI arrested 16 people in the U.S. last month, most of them for allegedly participating in Anonymous attacks on PayPal after the electronic payment giant dropped the WikiLeaks account. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Dornhelm.
A Twitter prank by the rapper The Game is sparking debate over the consequences, or lack thereof. On Friday night, he posted a faux job listing for an intern using the phone number for the Compton Station of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. The Game has close to 588,000 followers. Within seconds, the Compton phone started ringing and kept going for hours. Jason Terrell Taylor since claimed a friend commandeered his account. It's unclear if the tweets meet the burden for criminal charges. One Compton captain says he'd like to see a tweeted apology. Standardized test scores just released indicate students in California's big city school districts are making steady gains in reading and math. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tintakalis breaks down the results region by region. just over half of students across the state are doing well in reading, and half are proficient in math. This is the first time so many California students are scoring at these levels. Of the top four largest districts in California, San Diego Unified is posting the most solid gains from year to year.
We've had a lot of room to grow.
Esther Omobayan is principal of Mann Middle School. Her students are contributing to San Diego's overall gains in math and history. The district also boasts the highest proficiency rate in reading compared to other large districts in California. Omobayan credits the use of data to pinpoint problems. She also says creating small student learning groups is key.
That way you minimize boredom, you cut down on wasted experiences in the classroom, and you accelerate learning so the child is constantly motivated.
And gains are also being seen in science in San Diego and across the state. One of the school districts posting consistent gains is Santa Clara Unified in the Silicon Valley. 60% of students there are showing a strong grasp in the subject. The district's curriculum director, Mary Kay Going, says students are doing more hands-on projects that require critical thinking.
It's working with items, working with animals, allowing kids to create questions that they have about what they're working with, and then answer those questions through experiments.
There is still plenty of work ahead for big city school districts. In Los Angeles Unified, students are still scoring below the state average. However, they did make small gains in reading and math. Warren Fletcher is the district's teachers union president.
These numbers show perseverance by teachers and by students under some of the most punishing budget cut conditions that California has ever seen. And as you know, the lion's share of those cuts always fall on LAUSD and its students.
Fresno and Oakland Unified School Districts showed incremental gains, but continue to have some of the lowest scores in the state. In most parts of the state, the so-called achievement gap isn't narrowing. Black and Latino students continue to trail behind their white and Asian counterparts. The new statewide testing results will now be figured into the federal accountability system under the No Child Left Behind Act. Districts that fail to show gains face penalties, including additional federal oversight. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintopoulos.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, August 16th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.